Christian Cantrell is a science fiction writer and software developer living in Northern Virginia. He is the author of short stories, including The Epic Index, Anansi Island, Human Legacy Project, Venom, and Brain Box. His first novel is called Containment, and it's now an audiobook narrated by William Dufresne. Welcome, Christian.
Thank you.
Now, here's a quick synopsis of the novel that I have. As Earth's ability to support human life begins to diminish, the Global Space Agency establishes a colony on Venus. When Arik Ockley, part of the first generation to be born and raised off Earth, undertakes research on artificial photosynthesis to save the life of his unborn child, everything he has ever known is called into question. And what an amazing world and universe you create from that synopsis. Now, where did you get the inspiration for this story?
Well, the dedication for the book reads, "For future generations who must question everything about the worlds they're born into." And that really, I think, summarizes the inspiration for the story. I feel like, you know, as I've, you know, gotten older and experienced more of the world and seen more and traveled more, I've really been amazed how people's worldviews are very much formed by, you know, where they live and the conditions under which they live and the governments that control the information and so forth. And so I sort of started wondering, what would it be like for a group of people who are, you know, born, as the name suggests, you know, in complete containment? What would this generation, how would they see the world? And, you know, how could they be sort of guided or perhaps exploited? And, you know, what would they, what lengths would they end up going to sort of try and learn, you know, the truths about their lives and their world? And so it really was sort of inspired by, you know, things that I see, you know, in the real world, along with my love for science fiction, my love of science, my love of computers, and all of it, you know, comes together to create, I think, a very unique world with a very interesting twist.
Great. Well, let's dig into that a little bit further then. So what are some of the literary antecedents, at least the ones that are conscious to you, that you might be able to cite for, you know, where this tradition comes from?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I feel like, you know, all of the classic science fiction novels were, you know, were inspirational to me. I mean, I'm a big Isaac Asimov fan and, you know, Robert Heinlein and, you know, Arthur Clarke and, you know, various others. I'm also a big Carl Sagan fan, both of his, you know, written works and of his, you know, television series and the wonder that he's able to create. But I also studied literature in college, and, you know, none of that was science fiction. You know, that was all sort of, you know, a lot of American literature. And so I'm also, you know, I guess sort of influenced by more, you know, modern American writers, people like, you know, David Foster Wallace, people like, you know, even sort of Hemingway in the short story format that he sort of perfected. And so I really sort of try and take the best of all these traditions, you know, sort of the wonder of the science fiction world. And, you know, again, as you said, I'm a software developer, but also with the character development and, you know, all of the, you know, sort of the literary, you know, sort of wonder and genius of these more modern writers and try and combine them into, you know, very new and, you know, character-driven type stories. It's not all about technology. I mean, I really try and treat the technology and the characters equally.
Interesting. And so how did you go about getting this book published? I think it's a Kindle bestseller. So obviously folks interested in the e-reading in particular have really embraced the book. Can you give us an idea of that process that you went through?
Sure. After I wrote the book, I really didn't know what I was going to do with it. I just, you know, was you know, I've been writing. You know, again, I studied literature and creative writing in college, so I've been writing, you know, for pretty much my entire adult life. And And so, you know, I had this idea for the story and went ahead and took the time to write it. And I wasn't exactly sure what I was going to do with it. And once it was finished, I started, you know, researching the traditional publishing route and, you know, looking at all of my options. And it just sort of occurred to me that now was the right time to digitally self-publish. I've been using e-readers since they've been around. You know, I had the first Kindle, and I've, you know, updated with all of the subsequent versions of the Kindle, and I had e-readers before the Kindle was even around. And the ecosystem was finally right. Everything was in place for people to be successful digitally self-publishing. And so, being a software developer, I was able to, you know, sort of cobble together the tools that I needed to create EPUB files and, you know, to get sort of the workflow correct that I, you know, that I wanted in order to be able to to distribute the book to all these different outlets. And, you know, I, again, you know, very much influenced by the software industry, you know, we have this this saying, release early and release often. And so this idea of sort of going the traditional publishing route, which I have really nothing against, but, you know, maybe finding taking a year to find an agent, and then an agent perhaps taking, you know, a year to find a publisher, who, you know, and finally getting everything in print, it just didn't seem right. I mean, having to wait a year or possibly 2 years after the book was done and I was ready to release it immediately, it was much more appealing to me to, since I had the tools and I had the knowledge to go ahead and, build the right file formats. And, you know, Amazon with their platform made it very easy. And of course, you know, I've released it on the Barnes & Noble's platform and Apple's platform and Google's platform as well. Everything was just sort of in place. I'm comfortable using, programs like Photoshop. So I was able to design the cover. And I just had a lot of fun doing everything myself. I had, you know, friends and early readers help me with the editing process. I had a friend help me with some of the typesetting for the print edition, and it was just a lot of fun to have control over everything and do everything myself. So I decided to take a chance and self-publish it, and it's worked out really well.
Yeah, that's amazing. How long from when you finished it to when it was actually, you know, up for sale?
A couple of months, and even that amount of time, I did take the time to create a print version as well, just because I was sort of new to the process, and I thought, you know, is it too early to go with purely a digital version? So I did a self-published print version as well, and that took up most of the time. The digital version I actually had ready in just a couple of weeks, and that was with, you know, writing some of the tools myself, because all the tools at the time didn't really exist. Writing a little bit of software and, testing it on a lot of different readers and, designing the cover and everything was really just a couple of weeks. And then the additional time was really in, you know, the typesetting and getting the print version ready, which was sort of a slower process. But at this point, when I publish new stories, I've just published them digitally. I don't bother with the print edition anymore. And I can go from the time the story is finished and I've, you know, had some friends proofread it and edit it for me, and I've gone back and fixed a few things. It's really maybe a day or two of work to have it ready to start publishing.
Unbelievable. And so with a next novel, say, you would go do the same process again?
Yes. I'm not sort of opposed to traditional publishing. I mean, if there was an opportunity that was compelling, I would, consider it. But I part of the criteria would be that, the book has to be out there fast. And, I'm just not really willing to wait a year after something is finished to get it out there. So, I don't have a problem with traditional publishing, but at the same time, I don't see a need to do anything differently. I mean, I'm very happy with the results I've gotten with the workflow I've been able to establish. So, I have every intention to continue doing what I've been doing.
Mm-hmm. And how long ago did the novel actually, you know, let's say, hit the Kindle store? Is it the past few months, year?
It's been in the past year. It was last year that I got it out there. It took off pretty quickly. It got I priced it very, I sort of, questioned how to price the book for a while. And there's sort of incentive through the Kindle store to price it at $2.99 or higher, because you get a more favorable royalty. But I put it out there at 99 cents, just because I was an unknown author at the time and just wanted to, I wasn't really out there to make a lot of money. I just wanted people to enjoy the work. And so that really helped sales. And I was able to, promote it through, social channels and through social media. So it sort of saw some early success, and then I experimented with the pricing a little bit. And, the whole thing has been a learning process for me. And ultimately I decided that 99 cents was really the right price. And that I felt like I could, for whatever was lost in royalty, hopefully I could make up in volume. And, and the book has sold very, very well since then and has been at the top of, all the science fiction charts at one time or another, and continues to be at the top of some of those charts today. It's been up there for over a year and still continues to sell very, very well.
Terrific. And could you just give us a little bit of insight into some of the social media that you did?
Sure. Well, it's funny because I don't really distinguish, sort of social media from other forms of advertising, because I'm not in marketing. I'm a software developer. But in the process of being a software developer, and in the process of, being sort of a technology evangelist, which I also sort of do in my day job, I just make a lot of contacts. I use Twitter frequently. I use Facebook. I've been blogging since blogging was sort of around. I have several different blogs, I speak at conferences, technology conferences and software conferences. And so, it was just very natural for me to be able to sort of market myself. And, I didn't really go through a process of trying to figure out, how am I going to market myself? I don't put a lot of effort into it. I just, when I finish a story, I write a blog post about it and I post about it on Twitter, and it's not a process of, I don't feel like I'm going out there and explicitly selling myself. I just feel like I'm interacting with my friends online and with the people who follow my work and the people whose work I follow. And it's all sort of very collaborative. I follow them, they follow me, I check out their work, they check out mine. If people like it, they talk about it on Twitter, and other people start picking up on it. And I do the same for them. When I read a novel that I really enjoy, I make sure to post about it, to write about it on my blog, to let people know about it. And through that kind of interaction, we just sort of build up an ecosystem where, we share works that we like, and it's relatively easy. It doesn't cost any money, and it helps everybody find works that they really enjoy.
Yeah, that's really impressive. And so you don't do any so-called traditional marketing and, print ads and billboards and that kind of thing?
No, I haven't done anything like that. I haven't bought any advertising. I'm not opposed to it. I certainly would if I felt like I needed to, and perhaps I will in the future. I didn't write this book, to get rich. I didn't write it to become famous. I wrote it because I thought I had some interesting ideas and an interesting story that I wanted to share with mm-hmm. people. The book is also available under a Creative Commons license, so anyone's free to grab it. And it's really just out there for people to enjoy.
Terrific. And speaking of the story, so where do you leave things? I mean, without giving away the ending, do you feel that you could continue on with the same characters and the same environment? Is there a potential sequel, or, do you see this as a movie or a TV series?
I've had a lot of requests to continue the story, and I have had some interest from the film industry. In fact, I'm, you know, sort of chatting with someone right now about it, and you know, nothing's been signed, nothing definitive, but I feel like it would make a good film. The story really, the ending of the story really definitively concludes one storyline, and also leaves open another storyline, and that was done intentionally. One, so that you know, I could, of course, you know, follow it up with a sequel, but two, you know, just to sort of give people something to ponder and let their imagination sort of you know, complete some of that story. Right now, you know, as sort of in the spirit of the software industry, you know, release early, release often, I've been writing some short stories. And the idea is to just keep engaging with people rather than sort of going dark for a year or two and writing another novel. I really wanted to continue to engage with my readers and get some material out there. And when I say short stories, they're you know, sort of short in terms of length, from story to novella length. Some of them are actually fairly long. But they're, in terms of sort of character development and plot and idea, they're sort of, you know, novel quality, I would say. I mean, they're very big ideas in a relatively small package. And so I want to finish putting together a collection of those, which I'm pretty close to doing. I think I'm wrapping up my last one now. And then after that, you know, we'll see. I think I'm very seriously considering writing a sequel to Containment. A lot of people have asked for it. So that's probably what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. Sort of open to ideas right now and still considering it, but I think that's what I'm most interested in doing.
Great. And of course, Tantor now has published the audiobook edition. What do you think about having this done in audio? What are you hoping for, you know, in the full audio, unabridged audiobook edition? And if you've heard any part of this or samples of this, what do you think about the narration thus far?
Well, I'm really excited about the audio version of the book. I love audiobooks. You know, I love stories in any format. I mean, I love audiobooks. I love, you know, short stories. I love digital books, paper books. You know, audiobooks are a really great way to get a story. And I've frequently listened to an audiobook and then read the book, or read the book and then listened to the audio version, because they're very, you know, they're unique works, right? I mean, you know, hearing somebody read a story and hearing sort of their interpretation of it is really wonderful. And so to have Containment turned into an audiobook was very flattering. I was very excited about it. The guy who's done the reading, is great. He's, you know, his work is fantastic. And he's a great guy. He's very enthusiastic about it. So, I think it's just going to be, you know, another great way to get the story out there. And, you know, to put it in people's hands who maybe commute for long distances, or, you know, have flights or travel a lot, or, you know, just don't have time to sit and read. The idea of being able to reach those people as well, or people who just want to hear, you know, sort of another interpretation of the story, I thought was very, very exciting.
Thank you so much, Christian Cantrell, author of the book Containment. And listeners can find that on Tantor.com. Thank you, Christian.
Thank you very much.